On Monday's front page, Mitt Romney relented and said he'd release his tax returns. He's changing strategy after losing to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina. For the candidates, it's on to the next battleground in Florida. More and more employers are turning to lockouts. We'll look at why. And Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is resigning. She says her spirits are high, but she's going to concentrate on continuing her recovery. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Republican candidates moved on to Florida and an unpredictable new phase of the campaign. Less than 24 hours after losing to Newt Gingrich in South Carolina, Mitt Romney changed course and agreed to release his tax returns. On the Sunday interview shows, Gingrich belittled Romney as inauthentic and politically vulnerable. The two campaigns also traded charges about a congressional ethics investigation when Gingrich was Speaker of the House in the 1990s, about what may or may not be in Romney's tax returns, and about Gingrich's consulting work for the government-sponsored mortgage giant Freddie Mac and whether that amounted to lobbying. Gingrich said he took in $1 million in campaign contributions on Sunday. Monday's Times says the big question is whether billionaire casino owner Sheldon Adelson will fund a tax on Romney in Florida the way he did in South Carolina. Monday's Times says Florida voters are less likely to be swayed by the family values issues that were important in Iowa and South Carolina. Campaign watchers say Florida voters tend to be less ideological. They do want to back a winner, and that means they want to pick the candidate who has the best chance against President Obama. In Pakistan, the Supreme Court is widening its role. Monday's Times says it's carrying on a campaign of judicial activism against an elected civilian government. Many Pakistanis are worried the loser could be their fragile democracy, and one result could be new military intervention. The judges say their expanded mandate dates back to the struggle against the military rule of General Pervez Musharraf that began in 2007. Gabrielle Giffords announced she's resigning from Congress. She said she'd leave her House seat to focus on her recovery from last year's shooting attack. Here's part of what she said in a 2-minute video explaining her decision.
I don't remember much from that horrible day. But I will never forget the trust you place in me to be your voice.
She said her spirits are high, but she'll hand in her resignation this week. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer will call a special election to fill the seat for the rest of the term. Democrats had hoped they could turn to Ms. Giffords' husband, retired astronaut Mark Kelly. Friends say that's unlikely. They say he'll probably spend his time helping with her rehabilitation. More and more employers are turning to lockouts to press unionized workers to agree to concessions after contract negotiations stall. There have been highly publicized lockouts in professional sports. Last year there were lockouts in the NFL and the NBA, but they've been used in factories and even at the New York City Opera. It locked out its singers and its orchestra before coming to terms last week. Former Penn State football coach Joe Paterno is dead. He won more games than any other college football coach and became a symbol of integrity in athletics, only to be fired amid a sex abuse scandal that also brought down university president Graham Spanier. Paterno's teams had faltered as he coached on into his 70s and his 80s. He had only one winning season from 2000 to 2004 and seemed overmatched in the Big Ten. In 2010, his team was 7-6, and they lost to Florida in the Outback Bowl. Joe Paterno died of lung cancer. He was 85. Inside Monday's Times, the New York Giants are going to the Super Bowl. They beat the San Francisco 49ers 20-17 in overtime. The Giants will face the New England Patriots, who beat the Baltimore Ravens 23-20. Baltimore lost its shot at overtime with a missed field goal in the final seconds. The leader of Yemen left for medical care in New York. A Yemeni official said President Ali Abdullah Saleh needs treatment for injuries from a bombing at the presidential palace last year. The Obama administration approved the visit. The State Department issued a statement saying Sally will stay only as long as he's undergoing treatment. The statement was carefully worded. There had been a debate within the administration over whether to let Sally in and risk appearing to harbor an authoritarian leader. Sally is stopping in Oman on his way to New York. The Arab League unveiled a new peace plan for Syria. It calls for President Bashar al-Assad to hand over power to a deputy and start negotiations with his opponents. The proposal appears to be modeled on the agreement Sally signed in Yemen. The Syrian proposal calls for a national unity government to take over, followed by presidential and parliamentary elections. Protests jarred Libya's interim government. Demonstrators ransacked offices used by the Transitional Council. Later, the number two official resigned. The protesters have been demanding more transparency and openness. The council is dominated by the Eastern Rebel Movement that brought down Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi, but there have been accusations that some council members are still tainted by past ties to the old Qaddafi government. Monday's Business Day says Rupert Murdoch is leaning on Chase Carey as the phone hacking scandal continues in Britain. Carey is president of Murdoch's News Corporation. He's considered a less polarizing figure than Murdoch or his son James. Carey has worked for Murdoch since 1988. In the 1990s, he put together the billion-dollar deal that brought NFL football to Murdoch's Fox network. The debt restructuring talks between Greece and its private sector creditors hit a snag. At issue is the interest rate on new bonds. Germany and the IMF are insisting that the new bonds carry yields in the low 3% range. The creditors are resisting a rate that low. On Friday, Greece appeared close to a deal that would bring the yield to just below 4%. The talks are to resume on Monday. That's our preview of Monday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.